to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, America's most popular, self-proclaimed, right-wing, religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number, 1-800-836-9278, 1-800-836-9278. What a beautiful rainbow we have. We can look out the windows if we go up a couple of floors here from our studio and our underground bunker in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains, just west of Denver. Go up a couple of floors, look out the windows, go outside. A gorgeous rainbow, not only a rainbow, but a double rainbow. A complete double rainbow. From horizon to horizon, huge and gorgeous. And my son Zachary, we just started homeschooling Zachary last week. He's 4 years old, and his curriculum includes history and science, math, phonics, Bible, handwriting, reading. It's so neat. And he's learned in Bible, he just happened to be learning about Noah's Ark and how God said that it hadn't rained on the earth until the flood. And that was the beginning of rain in the history of the earth. And then, therefore, after the flood, from that point onward, there could be rainbows. So Noah and his family got out of the ark, and they saw the rainbow, and God said that rainbow is a sign. It's for a remembrance, and it's part of my promise that the earth will not be destroyed by a flood again. You know, Noah's flood had to be painful for God. It had to be painful because God loves the world and he loves people, although at the same time, he hates the wicked. He does both. He loves them enough to warn them to repent, but if they're determined to destroy one another, if they're determined to murder, steal, commit adultery, kidnap, rape, assault, blaspheme God, teach children to destroy themselves, if that's what they're all about, then that pains God also. And so to send the flood, then, you know, how many people were alive back then? Well, people lived a long time before the flood, and they had a lot of kids. And so we don't know, but we could estimate there could have been as many as a billion people on the earth. Certainly many millions, tens, or undoubtedly hundreds of millions of people. And so all those people, you think about the Titanic going down and 1,000 people drowning in the terror of that event. Well, think of the flood. Think of the flood and tens of millions, hundreds of millions of people drowning. It had to be a terribly painful experience, more so for God than for the individual person who drowned. But, you know, God is loving, but he's not only loving. He's also just. He's righteous. And he's a vengeful God, right? He's a God of wrath and vengeance. So God is all those things. And Christianity, I pastor Denver Bible Church. I'm so thankful that we have a church. We have so many families that understand just intuitively that God is not just a God of love. And if you have a God who's just a God of love, well, then he's a perverse God because he also needs to be a God of righteousness. Do you see how if God is not only love, but if he's also righteous, if he's also just, then he will also be a God of wrath. He will be that. Just like if someone was to hurt one of my children, then I would be a father of wrath. I would want to see wrath unleashed on the person who hurt my child. I would do everything I could to protect my child, even if it required killing the person who's trying to hurt my child. Whatever I could do to protect my child. And so if someone did commit a crime against one of my kids, then I would want that person punished. And if he repented to me for hurting me, well, I would still want him punished because he could repent to me and say he's sorry for hurting my child, and I could forgive him, and I would at that point if he was truly repentant. If I could discern that he really was sorry, then I would forgive him. But that doesn't mean that he shouldn't be punished. Oh boy, he should be punished. He should be punished for the crime, and I would want him punished even if he had repented. Now imagine if he didn't repent. If he was not repentant, he was not sorrowful, and in fact, he was determined to do the same again to another child. Well, that's when the vengeance, wrath, and terror comes in. Let's go to the phones. Our number, 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. And by the way, that's why we're going to attack Iraq. Bush, just in the last couple days, the way he's talking, obviously, he's getting us ready for an attack within the next, well, maybe right after the election. So let's go to the phones in Wisconsin. Wisconsin Dells, Wisconsin. Now, that's a neat name for a town. Bert, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob. How you doing this evening?
Doing really well, sir.
That's good. Well, I was just wondering what you thought of all this hoopla about 9/11.
Do you mean has the media done like an obligatory, over-the-top, let's all remember and shed tears? Is
yeah.
that what you mean?
Yes.
Well, let me say this, that I think when people remember tragedy, and if they grieve or they mourn or they remember, I'm sort of hesitant to criticize the way in which they do that.
Right. Well, I agree with that. But, I mean, for them talking about making this a holiday and a lot of, I don't know. It just seems...
it shouldn't be a holiday.
No.
We have plenty of holidays.
No.
Maybe one too many. And it should not be a holiday. We don't need more holidays.
Yeah. Well,
you know, but liberals, like in Europe, liberals have been fighting for years to go to a 4-day week and have 3 days off.
Yeah.
And that's how stupid they are, because yeah. the middle class in Europe they have a lower standard of living than the poor in America.
Right.
And so if they went to a 4-day week, the middle class would get even more poor in Europe. We'll be right back. Hey, you are listening to Listener Supported Radio. This is Listener Supported Radio. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and we're coming to you either via the internet at kgov.com, kgov.com, or by some of our affiliate websites, which offer you a live streaming opportunity to hear the show, or by one of our radio stations around the country. And however you're tuning in, thank you very much. It's an honor to have you tuned in. And I want to give you our order line just in case you like the show. If you like the show, you appreciate our presentation of what the Bible teaches about the issues of the day, the news, right and wrong, economics, criminal justice, evolution, foreign policy, governance, morality, sexual morality. If you appreciate this, then please give us a call because we need your help. Our phone number is 1-888-836-9278. The call-in line is 1-800-8-NYART. The order line is 1-888-8-NYART. You could call in and say, I'd like to help keep Bob and Yart live on the air in whatever city you're interested in, Springfield, Mass. And then you could make a donation automatically, monthly, on a credit card, and we'll put that money towards staying on the air in Springfield, or Rochester, New York, Indianapolis, Denver, Colorado, South Bend, Indiana. So we can use your help. If you'd like to get some of our materials, an overview of the whole Bible, either in a manuscript or audio tapes, we've got fabulous videos debating liberals. So call us up and we'll talk about what it is you'd like. 1-888-8-NYART. And having mentioned videotapes, have I told you about our God and the Death Penalty video lately? Oh, boy! That is one of our all-time best-selling videos. And it looks good, too, with the flames on the cover and the electric chair. And it's a sharp-looking video. In fact, and it's 2 hours, a two-hour video of mostly New Testament support for the death penalty. Mostly New Testament support for the death penalty. And it's a great video to put in your local library or especially your church library. If your church has a library, does it have God and the death penalty in it? If not, please consider getting that video, and that and Mount Moriah. They're both very presentable, and what strong biblical evidence. So in Europe, hey, Bert, the middle class in Europe, they don't have such a good standard of living. You there, Bert?
For that.
Okay. And Bert, and if they went to a four-day week, they'd be 20%, or really it would compound, more poor than they are right now.
Mm.
And, you know, it's hard to get ice when you travel in Europe. I don't know why. Maybe the guy who knew the formula died or something.
They lost the recipe.
Yeah, it's hard to get ice. Well, refrigeration, that takes a certain amount of a standard of living for everybody to have ice. Getting a cold drink, ice cold water. Now, hopefully it's getting better, but certainly over the last years, that's the way it's been in Europe. And so here in this country, liberals don't understand. They think you could just have a holiday. Let's have another holiday.
Yeah, I mean, and not to take away from that tragedy or anything. I mean, of course, that was a definite tragedy. But, you know, it just seems like, I don't know, they're putting it in the forefront a lot more than what it should be.
Well, all right, let me address that. And here, as a Christian, a conservative Christian, I criticize our culture, the government, entertainers, our schools, profusely, constantly. I criticize them. I'm very negative on what they do because they're evil. As a result of that, I try not to criticize them for things that are not actually immoral.
Yeah.
Like if they don't strike an exact right balance on to what is an appropriate degree of remembrance and respect and what's overboard?
Mm-hmm.
I actually think that'd be hard to figure out.
Yeah, it would. One thing that kind of confused me, but it was a pretty blunt statement, I heard a television evangelist, you know, say again that he didn't want to take away from the tragedy, but if we look at our country as it is, there are over twice as many children being aborted on a daily basis.
He's absolutely right.
And that's not being addressed.
He's absolutely right. When we were in Israel, right, Bert, right, we have more children being murdered by the George W. Bush, by the judges he appoints, who are radically pro-abortion, than Osama bin Laden killed.
Right.
So shouldn't that factor in? Shouldn't we grieve as much for the children whose arms and legs are ripped off?
Yes.
When they're in the womb and sucking their thumbs and playing with their toes, they're sleeping and dreaming, their eyes go into REM, their brain goes into alpha and beta waves when they dream.
Yeah.
Shouldn't we have as much compassion and mourn for the children who are slaughtered at the hands of our conservative Christian leaders?
Yeah, of course, or so-called Christian conservative leaders.
I guess nowadays, the best you could get from a Republican pro-life conservative leader is that he's going to appoint almost only pro-abortion judges.
Yeah.
I guess that's the best you can get. And if you're satisfied with that, well, then you're probably doing what you think you should do.
Yeah, well, he sort of tongue-in-cheek said, you know, it's great to see people coming together and say, God bless America, but when is America going to start blessing God?
Mm.
So
yeah, well, that was good. I'm glad that televangelist said that. When we were in Israel, Bert, actually, this trip was after the current intifada began.
Okay.
We had a guide. By the way, our number, 1-800-8-NYART. 1-800-836-9278. The tour guides in Israel all basically are licensed by the government. They're trained and licensed by the government.
This wasn't Nimrod, was it?
No.
Oh, okay.
How do you know Nimrod?
Well, I know the story from the tapes and the videos that I've received.
Oh, my. So you've gotten our – so Nimrod was our guide on our second trip to Israel. This guide was Joni on the third trip.
Oh, okay.
And Joni, as with the first two guides, Nimrod hated God, just hated God.
Right.
And it was obvious. Our first guide, Eli, he did not hate God, but he didn't have any kind of sincere faith. But he didn't have a hostility toward God. Nimrod hated God. Joni just flat out rejected any possibility that the Hebrew Scriptures even were inspired by God.
Mm.
So anyway, that's the kind of guide you get when you go to Israel. Mm. And we did our best to witness to them. But they're pretty, you know, hardened against Christians because of all the Christians they bring on tours.
Sure.
But anyway, we were at the in Jerusalem, they have – you know, the world's best Holocaust museum. It's just extraordinary. And while we were sitting outside in what they call the Avenue of the Righteous, where they've planted a tree for every Gentile that they're aware of who helped to save Jews from the Nazis. And it's really an awesome experience to be there. And while we were there, we started talking about, of course, the millions of Jews who were killed in the Holocaust. And some of our group brought up the millions of babies that are slaughtered in America every year by abortionists, and that our government supports that and protects it against thou shalt not murder and against our own Constitution.
Right.
So anyway, she became a bit offended. Maybe extremely offended, and so did one other gentleman who was listening in. And the gentleman said, oh, we shouldn't have any of this, what did he call it? Holocaust envy. We shouldn't have Holocaust envy. And she was saying, hey, abortion is illegal in Israel, except you have to go to a judge, and if you get two or three judges, then you could have the abortion. And you know what was just ironic about that? That's the way the Nazis started. The Nazis started where you couldn't kill a patient in a hospital or a juvenile detention home or a mental institution. You couldn't kill a patient, a German patient, unless you had two doctors authorize it.
Yeah, well, look what that can breed, especially someone who's in the political arena, you know, being a judge. No, you got to go to this judge. You can't make the choice on your own. But wait, we'll get three more to help you make the choice.
Right. And of course, there's no end of judges who will sign off to kill a baby, just like there were no end of judges and doctors in Germany who signed off. And eventually they killed about 100,000 Germans before they killed a single Jew. They emptied their hospitals and their mental institutes, they emptied them in Germany by killing the patients. And then the same people who killed the German patients began to kill the Jews in the concentration camps. And of course, you know, people being so ignorant of history and morality, she didn't understand what the implications of her words. Thank you, Bert.
You bet, Bob. Have a good night. God bless you.
God bless you. Now in Greenwood, South Carolina, Mike, speak your mind.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Howdy, sir.
I wanted to ask you a question about sin and crime. It's a topic you were talking about the other night.
Yes.
Anyway, I'm wondering about how homosexuality ties in with this. You take two grown men, both of age of consent.
Yeah.
And being that they're both at the age of consent and neither one violates the rights of the other, is that a sin or is it a crime?
Okay, your question has a logical fallacy in it.
Okay.
You're implying if what you just said was right, then two adults can agree to do anything as long as they're both consenting, and that's not true. They can't, for example, you can't make a movie and pay some poor guy $10,000 to kill him on film so that his poor family will have some money, even if he agrees to it. That is against the law, and that should be against the law. So just because adults conspire together to commit a crime does not mean it's no longer a crime. That idea has liberalism all through it. So you'd have to restate your question.
All right, don't get me wrong. I think it's a horrible thing.
Yeah, no, I understand, and I appreciate you trying to get to the principle behind is it a crime or is it not, or is it just a sin?
It's just what I fail to see is where has anybody's right been violated?
All right, well, respond to the issue I just brought up. If a movie producer wants to kill someone on film and he goes to a poor family and he says, I'll give your wife and kids $100,000 if you play this part and let us kill you, and he agrees to it, just like the sodomite agrees to be sodomized.
All right. Well,
so where has his rights been violated, or should it be legal to pay somebody to take their life?
All right. If somebody wants to die, I believe they have a right to life, and they don't have a right to die, even if they want to die. If I kill somebody who wants to die, I have violated their right, even if they ask me to do that.
Right. But you have not only violated their rights, you've violated the rights of society.
And the rights of their family, too.
Right. And the rights of society for us to live in an environment where you cannot shed innocent blood for money. And we have a right to live in an environment where stealing is prohibited by the government. And a right to live in a society that does not allow adultery to be committed for money. We have a right to those things. See, liberalism talks about the victimless crime, and that whole idea is irrational. Well, it's illogical. It's false. And that is the basis of your argument. So the basis of your argument, you would need to put it on a new footing, because the idea of a victimless crime is an oxymoron. Because if I have to live in a society where my neighbors are smoking crack, mm-hmm. and they're selling their bodies for sex, and they're selling themselves to be sodomized, I don't want to live in that kind of society. And according to the criminal justice system that God laid out, I don't have to live in that kind of society. Mm-hmm. Prostitution should be against the law. Getting high on cocaine, getting high on whiskey should be against the law.
Well, I don't like those things myself, to tell you the truth.
How about
in me too?
Do you want to hang on a bit? We're right up to the news break.
Sure.
And maybe we could nail it down a bit more after the break. And we'll ask others in the audience to call in 1-800-836-9278 and help us talk through this issue. How do you know whether something is a crime versus just a sin? This is listener-supported radio. Could you call it radio if it's over the internet? Because the idea of radio is that the signal is radiating out from a transmitter. And it's broadcast because it's going to it's going from one source, one transmitter, to many thousands or millions of receivers. So it's broadcast. Whereas narrowcast would be like a microwave that's pointed only to one receiver. And on the web, we have something similar. We have like a narrowcast, going from our server, kgov.com at Interland, to your PC. So it's narrowcast, but we simultaneously can do that to many people at the same time. And so internet radio, I don't know. I guess we can call it that, right? I guess that's acceptable. And if you tune in, then you're part of the next generation of people who are defying the traditional 3-4 networks in America that used to have all the ratings. And then they said, you know, now that there's 100 networks that you could get on cable or satellite, it's really hard for the big networks to get ratings and to have be secure in their ratings, except, this is what they said for years, except with something like Monday Night Football, Monday Night Football will always be secure. Huh. Until the last 7 years, when it's lost viewership for 7 years in a row. 7 years in a row, Monday Night Football has lost viewership. They got rid of Dennis Miller, good move, and they still lost viewership. So what's going on? What's going on is there are countless internet sites where you could decide your own programming. You could put together your own schedule of programs. You could listen to exactly what you'd like to listen to. And if whatever program you're interested in, and hopefully you're interested in Bob Inyart Live because of all the effort we put in to do a good biblical show, but whatever program you're interested in, you could tune into that, and none of your local radio or TV stations or even the major cable networks, you're not going to show up in their ratings. And that's a problem for them, but it is a boon. It is a blessing to us because through the next generation, we will have the opportunity to reach people through the web. Thank you. Bob Inyart Live, 1-800-836-9278. If you live in the Denver area, we're talking about raising kids. How do you raise godly kids in an evil age? That's at Denver Bible Church all this month of September in Sunday school and in the sermons. So now back to South Carolina. Mike, so what do you think of that, just that part right there, that liberals like to talk about victimless crimes, but that in and of itself is an oxymoron?
Well, I'm not sure. You know, I consider myself to be quite conservative.
Right.
But at the same time, on the other hand, I also believe in freedom.
I do too, big time.
And so there's always that issue of how do you balance freedom with human rights and morals.
It's easy. God has done it for us in the Bible. So let's take crack cocaine.
All right.
Or prostitution, whatever. Let's take drugs. Should you have the right to consume drugs? Recreational drugs.
Honestly, where I work, I have to give urine samples. They check me for drugs, and to tell you the truth, I resent having to do that.
Why?
Even though I've never done drugs.
Why do you resent it?
I feel like it's an invasion of my privacy.
What privacy? They're hiring you. They don't owe you. They don't owe you a living.
That's right.
And do you know, Mike, that in America there is a huge problem with drug abuse, and companies that have employees that do drugs expose that company to potential lawsuits, to bankruptcy. So they're dealing with the fact that we have a society who thinks that drugs are a victimless crime. So we're all the victims. We all pay the price, and it's a huge price because of drunkenness and drug abuse.
All that is true.
So
don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I am a conservative. I have never done drugs.
Yeah,
I'm about
that's
as pro-life as you can possibly get.
Well, that sounds great. But, Mike, I do think that some liberal principles have seeped into your thinking. I think that this liberal idea of a victimless crime has taken foothold in your mind. And I think you got to fight back against that. Because when someone commits a crime, let's say I'm raising my kids and we live in a neighborhood where there are crack houses and
right.
there are potheads and drug addicts in every other home. That affects me and my kids. My kids cannot – they can't go out on the streets with any kind of peace of mind for them or for us because we live in a neighborhood with drug addicts. And so I have a right to live in a neighborhood that is not infested with drug addicts. I have that right.
Well, I desire the same thing for my own family, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, but do you know that you have the right? Let me give you an example. I'll give you an example. You live in an apartment complex, and the guy two floors down, he's doing heroin. And he's so wasted that he starts a fire in his living room, and it's the funniest thing he's ever seen. And eventually it gets hot enough that he runs out, but not until three kids in the apartment complex are killed by smoke inhalation. No one has the right to lose control of their faculties. You do not have the right to do that because when you lose control of your faculties, you become an unacceptable risk to others, to your neighbors. It's like shooting a gun through a neighborhood, through the houses, and you say, oh, yeah, but I didn't hit anybody. Well, you didn't hit anybody, but that's an unacceptable risk. As your neighbor, my government doesn't have to put up with your irresponsible behavior. We could stop you from shooting a gun through the houses, you know, just in between the homes.
Well, I understand that, Bob.
In the same principle, I can stop you through the authority of the government from being high on heroin because you become an unnecessary risk to me and my family. That's where we have the right to stop drug addicts and drug dealers.
What I would really love to hear from you then is your position on the sale of alcohol, which is one of the worst drugs in our country.
Alcohol should be legal. It should be a crime to be drunk. Do you know that our government has legalized drunkenness? Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
You know,
I just know that it's against the law to drive under the influence.
You know, Jenna Bush and Noel Bush, you know, all getting arrested for drinking underage and drugs and crack a rock of cocaine in her shoe this past week. Noel Bush down in Florida violating probation a second time. Well, our government back in the 60s gave huge grants to the states if they would legalize drunkenness. In almost all the states in America, almost all 50 states legalized drunkenness. It used to be a crime. Now it's legal to be drunk. What some states will do is they'll pick you up and put you in a detox center, but it's legal. It's not a crime to be drunk. And so did most of Europe and Australia in the same period of time. They legalized drunkenness. It was a huge push by liberals in our government. And so that's what the problem is. The problem is not alcohol. Alcohol is legal and it should be legal. But what should be against the law is getting drunk, losing control of your faculties.
Right.
And if we flogged people who got drunk, we go a long way towards solving the problem.
Well, I do wish that we were stricter on enforcement of penalties of crime. I do believe
right.
that fear is an excellent deterrent for crime.
It is.
Could you tell me, for the things that we have discussed so far,
yeah.
maybe you would happen to have a series or some tapes that I might could order
that? We sure do. We have something called God's Criminal Justice System, an album of 6 tapes. And it's a recording of a seminar I've done in cities all over the country, from Honolulu to Pittsburgh, dozens of times. And we go through the Bible and we lay out God's principles for criminal justice.
All right.
You could order that. Call us up at 1-888-8-NYART, and we have a money back guarantee on everything.
All right. I have a few other questions for you. Yes.
I'd like to get to a couple other callers.
Oh, sure.
How about this? Talk to our call screener, and maybe right after the show, you and I could chat a bit.
All right. Can do that.
Thank you very much. Now let's go to Warner Robins, Georgia. Warner Robins, Georgia. I've never heard of that place. David, speak your mind.
Bob.
Yes, David.
Nice to talk to you.
Thank you.
First of all, I'd like to just thank you for writing the plot.
Oh, you're welcome, sir.
And I also have the Mount Moriah video.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty awesome.
The Mount Moriah video is, it's for one, it's a you know, professional cover presentation, the cover. So it's suitable for putting in a church library.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's a two-hour video for the evidence of the resurrection. And, David, do we exaggerate when we say that the evidence, there's a mountain of evidence that Christ rose from the dead?
You're not exaggerating at all. I think that the way that you put it together on Mount Moriah was I don't think that you could have done a better job, Bob. You did a great job
on
that.
Well, God bless you for that encouragement, David. Let me ask you this. Of the Christians who are true Christians, who really love God and believe in Jesus Christ, what percentage of them do you think have any idea of the evidence for the resurrection? What percentage of them could share with an unbeliever what the evidence is that Christ rose from the dead?
If I had to put, I'd say less than 10%.
Less than 10. I would agree with that. And so with the Mount Moriah video, we have always said since we produced that, that if an unbeliever is tuning in, call us up. You could have that for free. If you're not a Christian, call us up, 1-888-836-9278. We'll give you that for free. If you are a Christian, call us up and order Mount Moriah. I think it's $24.95. I actually forget. I have it here somewhere. And not only will it bolster your faith, because the Bible says faith is evidence. So we should know the evidence for the resurrection. Then we could share it with others. Then we could tell others about that Christ rose from the dead with confidence.
And if you can't, but, you know, have that person skills there to get that evidence personally, you can loan them the tape. It's a real good job. I've loaned it to quite a few people.
Yeah, and we've had so many people come to the Lord just by watching Mount Moriah. So many people. So many of our friends of this show have lent it to their relatives, ones that they wanted to get saved for 20 years, and they watched the video and they get saved, and now I am personally dear friends with many of the people who got saved through Mount Moriah.
Yeah.
It's so exciting.
It's a good video.
Thanks, David.
I thought Get Out of the Matrix was very well, too.
That was fun.
My oldest daughter thought that it was.
That was your oldest daughter? How old is she?
She's 19 right now.
That was quite a different video, debating a philosophy class in college.
It's very revealing, too.
Isn't it?
I would say it's typical of most college.
I think the Get Out of the Matrix video is perhaps the most extraordinary thing we've ever caught on video.
Well, I just ordered your live from Las Vegas, and I'm expecting it to be.
Oh, it's good. It's fun.
Just as good.
It's fun.
But I wanted to make a suggestion, Bob, and I know you've already thought about this, but I would wish that your Bible studies were available on CDs.
CDs. Okay, we're going to a break, and we're working on that, David. Thank you. Hey, this is Bob, and if you listen via the internet, you're probably outside of the Denver area. But you might not be, because some people in the Denver area can't listen when we're on KLT. We are on the most powerful Christian radio station in the country, KLT. It's a 50,000-watt station, 50,000 watts, and it's so low on the AM dial. Talk about Clear Channel. Clear Channel in Denver is 670 AM KLT. It is a powerhouse of a station. And praise the Lord for that. Well, if you live in the Denver area, you probably listen on radio, but you might listen over the internet. And if so, I want to invite you to church at Denver Bible Church Sunday morning. Sunday school is 9:30. Church is 10 minutes to 11. We start at 10:50 church, and then Sunday nights at 6 o'clock, 6 till 7:30 on Sunday nights. And if you live outside of the Denver area, then I want to invite you to participate. Well, I don't know. Could I use the word invite since it actually costs money? Usually an invitation doesn't cost any money. I got to figure that out. Maybe I got to get a new vocabulary word. But I'd like to offer you the opportunity to participate where you could receive in the mail every month either the sermons, the four sermons from our Denver Bible Church pulpit, or you could get the Bible studies. Once a month, we mail out the four Bible studies, four tapes. If you sign up with a credit card, now you don't need a credit card. You could send in a check once a month, but it's easier. You know, 95% of the people who do this use a credit card. And you give us a credit card expiration date, and then once a month, usually around the 7th, we process your card, usually on the 7th. And then about the middle of the month, we mail out your four, the next four tapes that you would get. We keep track of where you're at. So if it's your first month, you start out with four tapes, the overview of the whole Bible. We call that the plot of the Bible, the storyline. And then after those four tapes, you get a couple more to finish off the plot, the overview of the Bible the next month. And then you go on to the next series. And the month after that, you start the tree, which is maybe the neatest study we've ever done, the tree, for a month and a half. And it goes on. So call and sign up. All right, we do have plans to put our Bible studies, our albums on CD with MP3 files. But we here at Bob and Yurt Live, this is a small ministry. Some people tune in and they might not know, you know, get calls from all over the country. That's thanks to the internet at kgov.com, kgov.com. If you can't catch a show sometime, you just go on the web. Oh, and by the way, we should have our archives up by tomorrow. KGov.com was taken down by a hacker just over a week ago, and Interland has put up all the archive shows we sent them via we FedExed them a bunch of CDs. So our archive should be up, and let's see here. I'm just looking at this instant message. Anyway, CD-ROMs, they're coming, but it takes a lot of work. We don't have quite the budget or the staff just to make it a priority that it should be. Let's go to South Bend, Indiana, 1-800-836-9278. Kathy, speak your mind. Hello, Kathy.
Hello, Bob.
How are you, ma'am? Hey.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
I didn't expect to get through this fast.
But you did. Turn down your radio.
All righty.
Okay.
I've seen you on the TV when you used to be on the TV. That was years ago, wasn't it?
Yes. We went off the TV maybe 4 years ago. Four years ago.
And I'll just bring this up, nothing against you, but I noticed you used to hang up on people a lot.
I did?
Well, it seemed like you did, but I've noticed I've been listening to you just in like maybe a week or two.
Right.
And you seem to be you seem much nicer.
More okay. Well, here's what's going on. We were on TV nationally for 4 or 5 years, and we had reached 80 cities. And a number of those were very powerful stations. We were on a huge secular station in Orlando, Florida, Channel 20. We were on cable households in millions of households. We altogether, we were in the available on the TVs of about 10% of the country. And for being on for so many years, we had no end of liberal viewers.
Oh. Okay.
And because we had liberals, we had atheists, homosexuals, abortionists.
Yeah, I used to listen to it.
Yeah, and so many of them hated God.
Yeah, and I remember.
Yeah, so if somebody disagrees with me, if we have five people on hold and four agree and one calls up and they disagree, whatever the topic, that one goes next. They go to the front of the line, and I usually keep them on the air long enough to, if I can, to show that they're wrong. Mm-hmm. And I don't typically hang up on people who disagree. I never have. I've gone an entire 1 hour with somebody who disagrees.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah.
So
okay, so what's up,
Kathy? All right, well, I have a specific Well, you know, my radio is like, it's like a little, it goes different. It's not in tune with the thing. It's driving me nuts. Anyway.
Yeah, can you turn the radio off?
Yeah, I did turn it down.
Okay.
I did hear you talk about something about the alcohol, and you said it should be legal.
Yes.
But not drunk.
Right.
So I do, that's not my question, but. So
that's your preliminary question.
Okay. Now, so are you saying that it's, that you believe in drinking, but not to excess?
I didn't say that, but I will say now that the Bible teaches in many, many, many places that that you can drink hard alcohol, wine, you could drink, but do not be drunk.
Okay, that's what I was thought that you said.
Yeah, like in the Old Testament where it talks about where the Jews would go to Jerusalem to bring their tithe once a year, and God said, take your tithe money and have a party with it. Out of your tithe, once a year, have a feast for you and your family, and take the money that you would give to God, because God has more than enough money.
Mm-hmm.
And out of that money, God wants to treat you and your family to like a Thanksgiving feast. Mm-hmm. And he says, and with that money, you could buy wine.
I read something in the Bible about to buy the tithe and all that. I do believe that.
And by the way, Kathy, it says you can buy wine and strong drink, which comes from the same verb. It's the noun for getting drunk. Now, God says don't get drunk. It's a sin.
Right.
But you could have wine and strong drink, but don't get drunk.
Okay. I believe that Jesus drank wine. They called him a glutton and a wine bibber. I believe he sat down with the publicans and sinners and had a glass of wine. I believe this.
Of course he did. At the Passover, of course they drank wine.
And he made wine.
And he made the good wine, the kind that normally got people drunk at the beginning of a party.
See, and then you got this debate with people. Oh, it was just grape juice, and then you got to go on.
Yeah, and that's right. That's completely untenable. One of the qualifications for being an elder is that you're not given to much wine.
Right. They were saying this at church.
Would that mean that you're not given to much grape juice? Of course
right.
It doesn't mean that.
So that means you're not supposed to be, like,
drunk.
Drunk.
Right.
But then, you know, well, yeah, that's the issue. But,
right.
You know, I was listening to that conversation, but I heard you talk about, I think, Mormons or something last week or this week.
Last week.
Oh, my God. I ran into two Mormons today.
All right.
I mean, they were kids. One was 21 and one was 19.
They were Mormon missionaries?
They walk around in the black and white.
Yeah, they're Mormon missionaries. Hey, Kathy, before you tell me that.
Okay.
Can I gently rebuke you for something?
What?
Do you go to a charismatic church?
No, I don't.
All right. Because many of my charismatic friends, and I have many, I married one.
You mean Catholic?
No, charismatic.
Well, I don't know what you mean by charismatic.
Oh, have you heard of Assemblies of God? That denomination?
Yeah, but that could mean anything.
No, Assemblies of God churches are charismatic.
Okay.
In my experience,
they're not Catholic charismatic.
Not Catholic charismatic.
I've been to many churches, and I have nothing against any of them.
All right. Well, let me get to my gentle rebuke of you.
Okay.
And I thought you might be charismatic because almost all of my charismatic friends do what you just did.
What?
You said, oh, my God, I saw two Mormons.
I talked with them for a long time.
Yeah. You don't refer to God as an exclamation.
All right. I didn't think of that.
Yeah. So many people who love God do that. And to me, it's, you know, we just need to encourage one another to recognize that when you mention the word God, you should either be speaking about him or to him.
All right. I understand what
with
you're
reverence.
Saying.
Okay, good. So
Thank you. Praise
the Lord. Okay, so you saw two Mormons.
Yes.
Oh, Buddha. What did they do?
Well, I wasn't really initially going to talk with them. I was on my way to pay a bill. And I'm a nice person, and I have been known to speak, longer than I should. That's what my sister says.
Yeah.
And so I said hi, and they were coming up to me, and I knew they were going to talk to me about the Book of Mormon.
Yeah.
And I think you were talking about Joseph Smith.
Right, exactly.
And if I recall, you were talking, you said something, and it shocked me that something that Joseph Smith, you were talking about foaming at the mouth and all kinds of stuff. Am I right?
I don't remember using the term foaming at
the
mouth.
Yeah, you said
but
that.
I might have used that term.
That he foamed at the mouth and he would go into these convulsions or something or other.
I don't remember saying that.
Well, I remember. I have a good memory.
Well, you know, you might be right. And we have it on tape and I should check.
All right.
But
I was surprised you said that and I thought, wow, okay. But now I heard you say this, but.
And by the way, that's an expression. If you say someone's a foaming at the mouth liberal or he's a foaming at the mouth.
Well, you said this Joseph Smith was
heretic.
Foaming at the mouth and he would go into these.
Well, if I said that, I have no personal knowledge that he was bitten by a dog that had rabies or
anything.
Right,
all right.
I don't know that he was really foaming at the mouth.
Okay, but
I would have used that as a figure
saying.
Of speech.
I understand what you're saying.
That he was a nut.
A nut?
He was a nut. He was a certifiable nut, yes.
That's exactly the point that I got from
good.
You.
Okay, good.
But they told me, we were talking about things, and I was trying to show these young people that you know, talking to them about this and that and God, and that I knew what I was talking about.
Right.
And they said that Joseph Smith, that he wondered why all the denominations were about, and so he went into the woods, which a lot of Christians have done.
He went into the woods.
Yeah, and God
in upstate
and Jesus,
New York, Elmira, New York.
And God and Jesus appeared
right?
to him.
Yeah.
God and Jesus both appeared to him. And then he found the Book of Mormon in the dirt that he was showing. That was the Book of Mormon.
Right, and there were these gold plates and with this huge pair of eyeglasses, these special goggles, these spectacles.
But I couldn't believe that.
And when he put on the spectacles, he could read the scrolls and interpret them, and that's how he wrote the Book of Mormon. The only problem is the entire book is a scam.
Uh-huh.
And he was a certifiable kook. You could read a lot about him. So much was written about him contemporaneously.
Uh-huh.
He was a crook.
A crook?
Yeah, he was what was called a money digger. He would get investments from wealthy people and go into the woods, and he would basically tell them where they can dig for hidden treasure. He did that for some years, and he swindled people out of their money. And then on one of these efforts, he found the Golden Scrolls. And we know all this from contemporaneous accounts.
Oh, so you're saying he did find Golden Scrolls?
No, it was a scam.
Okay, that's what I was...
Just like all the other, you know, gold and silver and hidden treasures that he would lead people to, it was all a scam. And so he figured out a way to get money out of a lot of people.
Uh-huh.
Because he wrote a copy of what he found and started a religion.
And then this I talked with them for a long time, and then this one, I didn't like the one. He was only 19, and he looked at me, and I've been through a whole lot of life. I'm in my 40s, up in my 40s, 48 almost.
And he said?
And he's like, looking at me funny. You know how these kids are. And the other guy was 21. He was pretty polite.
Yeah, quick, Kathy, the music.
All right.
Yeah.
But then he was like, they were just talking and talking and talking, and I forgot what I was going to say, but...
Kathy, we got to go. The show's
all right.
Over.
All right.
Thank you, Kathy. God
all
bless
right.
you. They were talking and talking and picking and talking and talking a little. Pick a little, talk a little, pick a little, talk a little. Pick, 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 talk a lot, pick a little more. Pick a little, talk a little, pick a little, talk a little. Pick, 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 talk a lot, pick a little more. Man, those Mormons were talking, and I never found out what they said. But they probably didn't say anything important because they were just picking and talking and picking and talking and pick, 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 talk a lot, pick a little more. Pick a little, talk a little, pick a little, talk a little. Pick, 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 talk a lot, pick a little more. Hey, this is Bob, and I remind you to do right and risk the consequences.